I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Today, we're going to continue our series, although it's a brief one. It's just going to start last week and end this week. But we're going to look at spiritual gifts. And very appropriate, today is our ministry fair here at Grace Baptist. It's an opportunity for you to be able to pray about how you can use your gifts and serve in the body of Christ. And so how appropriate it is to look and to see how God has prepared us for each of us to be able to use the abilities that he has given us to be able to do just that. So I'd like for you to look in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Lord, that you would challenge us today. And Lord, that you would help us to realize the importance of what you have done in our life. And Lord, to be able to, Lord, take what you have given us and to be able to use it. Lord, to grow your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love winter. Some of you are sad that summer is coming to an end, but I'm excited. I'm ready for it to be over. I don't like the hot temperatures. And I like the cooler temperatures. In fact, I like it when you actually have winter. Now, I've been here for almost 20 years, and I've never seen winter here. I hear it snows occasionally, but it's never happened, right? But I remember growing up as a kid in North Carolina, and I mean, you just used to love when it would finally snow because you knew you could get out of school. And if you've ever been in the snow, I mean, most of you probably have seen it. When it comes down, you know, those flakes are very, very weak and fragile. I mean, all you have to do is take that flake and you can just smash it and it's done away with. And what's interesting, though, is when those flakes come together, even though they are frail, when they stick together, they can stop traffic. They can cause great things to take place. And I think that's a great picture of what we look like as Christians. Individually, we're pretty frail. We often look at our lives and go, man, I'm going through some challenging days. I'm going through some challenging times. I've had some stuff happen to me. And life can seem like, man, I just don't feel like I can really contribute. But the amazing thing is when we have God work in our life and he brings us together, awesome things can be done for his kingdom. And today I want us to realize the importance of each of us doing our share in being able to serve the Lord. And so I want us to look at this subject of spiritual gifts. And then more importantly, as we finish today, I hope that right after the service, you'll take an opportunity to say, you know what? I realize that God has gifted me if I've been born again, and I want to use my gift this year for God's glory. I'm going to find out how I can use that this year at Grace Baptist Church. So we're going to do a little bit of review and then look at this passage, but I want us to begin by looking at what are spiritual gifts as we look at some questions on spiritual gifts today. And this is a review from last week, but I want us to remember they are not talents. Spiritual gifts are not talents. Remember we talked about last week, talent is what you are born with when you're physically come into this world. We all have abilities that God has given us. And so when we realize that we have those things, we still need to use them for God's glory. But we have to remember that a talent is not a spiritual gift. A talent is something that we can continue to be able to use for God's glory. But we have to remember that it's not what we would identify as a spiritual gift. I remember being in the church choir as a young kid. Anybody ever do that? And I realized pretty quickly I did not have the talent to sing. All right? I was one of those people that could make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? All right? I was joyful, but it wasn't a blessing, okay? But then, as I told you last week, somebody stuck a trumpet in my face, and eventually I learned how to play. And I realized that I had a talent to be able to play the trumpet. And then I was able to use that sometimes in the church. And so those are things that we are born with naturally. It's something that we had and we can use. But I want you to understand that spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities given to us when we are born again. They're not given to us when we're born physically, but they happen to us when we are born spiritually. At the moment that we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And in indwelling us, he gives us gifts that he has a plan and a purpose for us to use for the kingdom of God. One of my gifts is teaching. And if you would have known me as growing up, you would have thought that was the furthest thing that I would have ever done. Because when I grew up in school, I was not very bright. I just wasn't. I had learning disabilities. I was behind. When I was in third grade, I was a reading level behind. Summer of third grade year, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I came into the fourth grade, I not only got to the normal reading level, but by the end of the fourth grade, I was ahead of reading level. And it wasn't because I finally got smart. It was something that God was doing in me. Now, I didn't know what he was doing in me, but I realized now as I look back, he was preparing me so that I could learn, so that I could be able to teach. And when did that take place? It took place when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Was it something that I did? Was it something somebody did for me? It was something that God did. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. God has gifted you. Now, it was many years later that I ever used the gift of teaching in the church. But when I accepted Christ, God had done that work in me. And just as we find out our natural talents by discovering them and trying new things, it's the same way that we discover our spiritual gift. It's getting out and stepping out in faith and go, man, I'm going to try to join the music team. And then Adam comes and says, hey, you know, that's not your gift, all right? Thank you. But that doesn't mean you quit. That means you try to find the next gift, okay? But that's what happens. And then when you find that sweet spot and you realize, wow, this is how God has gifted me, you find great joy in that. Well, what are the spiritual gifts? You know, there's a lot of debate on that. And some say that the Bible gives a list of spiritual gifts that's pretty exhaustive. Others just say that they're sort of like ideas of what the spiritual gifts may be. But I want us to understand that we have to make sure that we understand the difference again between a spiritual gift and that talent. But then I also want us to understand the difference that there are certain functions that all Christians have. And while you may be gifted and you may be stronger in an area, it doesn't neglect that you have that function to still do as a Christian. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm just not good at evangelism. Other people are gifted in that. I just don't do it. Well, I got bad news for you. The Lord said, you are to go and make disciples and you're to share your faith and to be witnesses to him. So you may not be as good at it as somebody else, but you're still supposed to what? Do it. I've seen people like see trash on the ground of the church and they just walk by it and they say, well, it's not my gift to pick up trash. Well, can I tell you, nobody has the gift of picking up trash. It's just called being a servant. And if you see something that has to be done, you just have to do it. There's no giftedness in it. It's just a function that we're all supposed to do. We all step up when we need to. But there are some lists in the Bible, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and also some other places. And I want us to look. Dr. Roland Strode used to be the pastor here. He used to be able to, he did his doctorate study in spiritual gifts. And so this is something that he sort of showed. I want you to see the spiritual gifts that are listed here that he identifies. And look at them real quickly. Administration, the ability to organize and guide human activities to honor Christ. Creative ability, the ability to use creative skills to be able to grow God's kingdom. Discernment, to distinguish between a word or action or a motive, whether it's coming from God or the flesh or Satan. Encouragement, the ability to encourage, comfort, even challenge and rebuke to help others walk worthy. The evangelism, to be able to train others, to be able to share their faith and to help unbelievers understand clearly what the gospel is. Faith, the ability to know whether certainty that God's will is something that is supposed to be done in a certain situation. Giving, the ability to be able to cheerfully and sacrificially give to the Lord's work. Healing, the ability to be used by God to bring a physical, emotional, or spiritual healing to others. Hospitality, to be loving and welcoming and gracious to guests and to strangers. The interpretation of languages, we usually call that tongues, but how many of you know in the Bible, tongues literally means languages? So there's some people who are really gifted in understanding different languages. Knowledge, the ability to be able to receive knowledge from God and to be able to understand deep things. Leadership, to be able to cast and to help others communicate goals and to be able to inspire others to accomplish great things. Mercy, the ability to have empathy and compassion for others. Miracles, the ability for God to work through, to be able to accomplish God's things. Prophecy, the ability to receive and communicate a message from God so that believers may be edified and encouraged and so that unbelievers may be convinced. Service, the ability to be able to meet the needs of others in practical ways. Shepherding, to watch over, to care for, to feed members, to admonish, to disciple others to maturity. Teaching, be able to effectively communicate the truths to help believers mature and to build up the body of Christ. Speaking in languages, the ability to communicate the gospel in other languages. And then wisdom, the ability to be able to take God's word and to apply it to practical daily living. See, these are gifts that we know that are biblical. And we ought to be looking and saying, you know, as I look at my life, I see that I have this gift and God has given it to me. And maybe you're here today and man, like, I'm a Christian, I know I am, but I just don't know what my giftedness is. Well, amen, start getting involved. Try something out. And you'll find it. How many of you know God wants you to know your gift more than you want to know it? God's got a plan for you. So it's important that you take the time and you are able to use your gift. How are we to use our spiritual gifts? Well, we need to understand that spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And they can only be given and used under his control to be effective. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God gives you the gift, and God works through you to use the gift. If you notice here in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which who supplies? God supplies. Is God working through you? It's not something that you have that you can do. It's something that God has given you, and he works through you to be able to be a blessing to others. So how are we able to do that? Well, first, we have to have faith. You have to believe that God can use you. And there's too many Christians that live in defeat. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, I'm just a failure. I shouldn't be doing anything. I'm just worthless. Somebody else can do it better. So let them do it. I'm tired. Someone else needs to step up. Doesn't that sound like Moses at the burning bush? Folks, God has gifted you. And you're expected to believe that God can use you and God will accomplish great things through you. Even though we're messed up, He is the potter, we are the clay. And as long as we remain in His hand, He can do great things in us. But we've got to remain in His hand. We've got to have faith that God can use us. The second thing I want you to see is that we have to have love. You know, if you look at the gift of, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see a chapter on spiritual gifts. And then what's 1 Corinthians 13 about? It's the love chapter, right? And we always read about marriage. This is how you should marry, love somebody when you're married, and you should. But in the context of what he's talking about, he's saying, listen, you can have all the spiritual giftedness, but if you don't do it out of love, you're nothing. You've got to do it with the right heart. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. And there's a lot of people who serve in the church, but they're not serving to love God and to love others. They're serving in the church because they want recognition. They're serving in the church for themselves because it makes them feel good. They serve in the church so that they have an identity. Look at what I do. And folks, if you're not serving out of faith and you're not serving out of love, then you're not being a blessing to God's kingdom. So we've got to serve in the power of the Spirit. If I abide in Christ, he says, then this is what will happen out of my life. As I am the branch and in the vine, much fruit will come. That's the type of fruit we want. Fruit that only God can do. If I'm doing it, then let me tell you, it's not the fruit that people are going to enjoy. It's got to be coming from the Holy Spirit. The fourth question I want to ask, on whom should we use our spiritual gifts? And I want you to see that spiritual gifts are not for us. They're to serve other people. Specifically, they're to minister to the people in the body. That's what it says in verse 10 here in our passage. As each one has received a gift, minister it to who? One another. And so you have been given a gift for this purpose because someone in this body needs your gift. And when you're not functioning, that means you're hurting somebody in the body. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we're being used. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So many people are focused about their spiritual gift, and it's about me becoming better. Your spiritual gift isn't for you. Your spiritual gift is to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So you should desire to say, hey, I'm here so that I can be a blessing to God and His kingdom and to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And if I'm not involved, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to realize that I am under stewardship and need to be able to do that. So let's look at the last question, where I want to focus on in our passage today, is why should we use our spiritual gifts? And there's four reasons that I see out of this passage real quickly. The first, he says in verse 7, is the end is near. Notice what he says. But the end of all things is at hand. Folks, we are running out of time. The clock is ticking. Jesus is coming back. And because of that, we need to be about the Father's business. And we don't have time to have these trivial problems that we focus on what color the carpet is the music too loud, or is it too hot in the sanctuary, or all this stuff. There are people dying and going to hell. And we have to be serious, as he says here. The first thing that we have to do is make sure that we are serious about talking to God and about the things that matter. And too many of us are praying, Lord, please help my team win the football game. What we need to be praying for is, Lord, I need you to reach my neighbor. Lord, I need you to reach my coworker. Lord, that family member. I need to see them come to Jesus. We need to make sure that we are serious, because we live in an evil world and there's a spiritual battle taking place. And we've got to be ready. So we need to be using our gift. And then we have to be in prayer. And notice he says you need to be watchful in your prayer. That means I'm in constant communication. I'm talking to the Father. And as I'm praying, I'm looking to seeing how he's answering. Lord, I pray for my coworker that they'll come to Jesus. Then that coworker comes up to you and says, man, I'm having problems in my marriage. Ding, 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 ding. God just answered your prayer. Hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. I'd love to talk to you. So many of us are not connecting the dots. We're praying, but we're not watching. We're praying, but we're not believing that God's going to do something. But we've got to take life seriously. The end is coming, and so we have to be serious and watchful in our prayers, and we need to make sure that we're willing to be used, because in these last days, there's many who need to know the gospel. Secondly, he says we've got to be fervent in love. Notice in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, and love will cover a multitude of sins. The time's running out, but we also have to be people who are in love with one another, and love for wanting to get the gospel out, and love for wanting to be used of God so that we can make an impact. That word for fervent means to be zealous, without ceasing, constant, eager. We should love with just a fervency. I just want to burn with a passion for God and for other people, and to see God's kingdom grow. Notice he says, listen, if it's happening right, the first thing that you're going to see is you're going to see forgiveness. And I'll tell you, we've got to have forgiveness in order to be able to work as the body of Christ. And if you can't forgive others, then what happens is when you come to a church where there's no forgiveness, then people sense, uh-oh, I don't want to be here. It feels uneasy. And if we can't get along, and we can't love one another, and we can't put our little minor differences aside, and if we can't be gracious to one another, and if we can't move past things and still work together, then how can we expect to bring others and bring them in to be able to do the same thing for God's glory? We can't. And so love says, you know what? You hurt my feelings. But you know what? I understand that the most important thing is God's kingdom. I'm willing to forgive you. And today, if you're here and you know you have wronged somebody, you need to go to that person and say, forgive me. I'm sorry. Restore that relationship. And if someone's here and they say that I'm sorry, you need to say, you know what? I'm forgiven. And you give them a hug and you just put it in the past and you move on. Because there's a lot more important things that are taking place in the world and in the kingdom And we need to be unified in order to be able to do that. And love allows us to be able to forgive and work together. Notice the next thing it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That word for hospitable means to literally welcome in strangers. It means we're not a church of cliques, but we're a church that is willing to be open to say, listen, you're new here, but that's okay. You can be a part of the family too. And as we bring in people who are lost, they're going to have baggage. And so we're going to welcome them, people, without grumbling. Not bring them in and go, oh my goodness, we got to do it because, you know, man, this, God requires it, but man, this is just miserable having this person in my home group. I just wish this person wasn't in our side. I wish we didn't have to work with this person in Awana. Now, I know that doesn't happen here, amen. It happens in the other churches. And we better not let it happen here. We're to be hospitable. We'll be able to say, listen, we want to open it up. If there's new people who want to join the worship team, if there's new people who want to get involved in serving in senior ministry, if there's new people who want to work with the youth, we need to be people who say, listen, come and join us and let us equip you. And we're going to be hospitable and welcome more and more and more because we want to see the kingdom of God grow. Then third, I want you to see is that we have stewardship. Notice in verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If a bird has wings, it's supposed to fly. Fish has gills and fins, it better swim. And if you have been given a spiritual gift, then you're supposed to use it for God's glory. You're supposed to use it because he's given it to you. And you're not just supposed to sit in a pew and watch other people do it. You've been gifted, and God expects you to take what you have and to be able to use it as well. It's not a suggestion. It's a command that comes from our Lord. And we saw last week in the parable when we talked about those who had the talents and the one who had five brought 10 and the one who had two had four, but the one who got one, what did he do? He just buried it. And Jesus wasn't very happy, if you remember. And it's important to understand that the expectation, not from me, not from our elders, but from the Lord Jesus Christ, is if you have been born again, you have been given a spiritual gift, and you're to use it in the service to this body here at Grace Baptist, if you're a member. And so we're going to hold you accountable to what the Lord wants. Amen? And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, that's okay. Because it's not me who's saying, listen, you've got a spiritual gift, you should be using it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we talked about last week, if the Lord Jesus says it in his word, we have a decision to make. Are we going to believe what we believe, or are we going to believe what he says? And as a church, we've made the decision, we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he says it, we're going to do it. And that's the type of church we're going to be. And we're not going to be a church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We're going to be a church where 100% of the people do 100% of the work. Because we've all been gifted. And you are going to be held accountable by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords what you do with what he has given you. So we need to make sure that we're using what he has given. And then finally, I want you to see that we do it for God's glory. Notice it says at the end of this passage that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Why do I use my spiritual gift? This is the ultimate reason why. Because when I do it, it brings God pleasure. It brings him glory. It makes his name known. And so I do it because I know that even though I am weak, his grace covers me. Even though I don't have any ability in myself, he has this amazing ability to transform and to use me. And so that when things get done and when God works through this church, people look and they don't say, what an amazing church. But they look and they say, what an amazing God. Look at how he worked through that group of people. He must be real. And what we'll see is families restored and lost people saved. And we'll see people discipled. And when we get to heaven, and one day he says, Grace Baptist Church, come before me. We'll be standing there before our King, and he will say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Not that you took the treasure and you buried it, and you knew I expected more. Cancer is a terrible thing. It's a debilitating disease. But many people don't realize that cancer is really when cells decide that they just don't want to get along with the program of the rest of the body, and they just want to have their own agenda. But the problem is cancer cells don't leave the body. They stay there, and they just want to be independent. Now, they still want to take advantage of the body. They still take away food, oxygen. But they also want to start spreading. And they want to take their way and to be able to infect other parts. And sadly, cancer exists in the American church today. There's many cells in the church that just constantly come in, and they still want to take advantages of the things of the church. They want to listen to the music. They want to hear the sermon. When they're in trouble, they want somebody to help them. But they're not taking their God-given ability, and they're not giving it back into service to the body. And folks, what we need is an American church that is healthy. And we can't fix all the American church, but we sure can set an example of what it should look like in Bakersfield, California. And we can be the church that says, you know what? We're going to step up, all of us, and we're going to use what God has given us so that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified. And as he is lifted up, lost people will be drawn to him. Let's pray.